The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Everyone, and welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and shortly to be joining us, Dr. Herb Slavin. And until the connection is made, it's just me. And so a little bit of information that I've come across that I think is critically important to all of our listeners, and what I'm talking about, insomnia. How many of you out there have been dealing with, I'm going to say, chronic insomnia? If, you know, every once in a while you don't sleep soundly and, you know, for an extended number of hours, 7 to 8 hours, not necessarily an important issue to deal with. You might think about why you weren't able to get a good night's sleep, and maybe you were asleep, but you were restless. You were tossing and turning. So if any of those seem to fit a situation with you that is a continual issue, something that goes on night after night after night, and you get up out of bed in the morning and it's a slow start every morning. You don't feel energized. Your brain isn't working quickly, easily. Well, there might be a reason for it. About 5% of the population suffers from insomnia, and there's an indication that that chronic sleeplessness can be damaging to your brain. And I'm thinking that possibly Dr. Slavin's with us. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning. I started to talk about insomnia this morning, and so I don't know what you have on your agenda, but let me just finish with the insomnia, and then sure, we'll go with what you have planned, okay?
All right.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, so I was talking about a certain number of people in the population have chronic sleeplessness, and there was research that was completed with regard to MRI technology, and what they found is they were comparing the brains of people who have normal sleep habits. And so what's a normal sleep habit? I'm thinking about, okay, you go to sleep at the same time, you fall asleep in a relatively short period of time, I'm going to say 5 to 10 minutes. Some people, they're asleep before their heads hit the pillow, but falling asleep in a reasonable period of time, and then staying asleep, and then they compared the brain MRIs of those people with the brains of people with insomnia. And here's the bad, bad news. The people with insomnia had significantly less white matter. And what does white matter do in our brains? Well, it's the material in the brains, the tissue in our brains, that is the communication system. It relays the signals to different parts of the brain. It's what makes up a comprehensive function of our brains. And when the white matter is impaired, communication between brain regions is disrupted. And some of the affected areas are the thalamus And the thalamus is what is regulating sleep. And that cycle of sleep and then the cycle of alertness. And that's if your thalamus is damaged, then there may be an impairment in your ability to remain alert, concentrating, and gathering information in your brain. And then there's the limbic system in your brain. And the limbic system is part of learning and memory as well as emotions. So very, very important for people to understand what are the causes that tend to keep them awake. Are they deficient in certain minerals? Are they toxic with certain substances? And I'm going to say sugar. And what are some of the things that they can do to overcome this issue? And the thing is, a pharmaceutical may get you to be what appears to be asleep for a certain number of hours, but it doesn't necessarily support that kind of brain cell repair, that correct levels of sleep, cycles of sleep, and duration of sleep. All three of those impact how well your brain is able to repair itself. So very, very interesting to see if you might be deficient in magnesium, if you might be someone whose production of melatonin is disrupted. Perhaps there's a whole profile of brain chemicals that aren't able to do their job, the job which would be relaxation, muscle relaxation, and the job of literally allowing that active firing of neurons, that is alertness, to begin to relax. That system that is part of your body's and brain's response to darkness. So a wide range of different things are available, and they do not compromise the ability of your brain to repair itself. So that's what I was getting started with, Dr. Slavin. What's on your agenda today?
Well, there was a report out today about the life expectancy declined slightly in the U.S., very slightly. So I thought it'd be interesting to see how we rank in the world as far as life expectancy goes, because I think that's a good way of evaluating how good a job the healthcare establishment is doing in this country. So the interesting thing is, and you learn something every day. For women, the best country to live in is Japan. Their average life expectancy is 84 years of age. So Japan ranks first for women. But they don't rank first.
That's in a global comparison? So
they don't work, they don't rank first for men, though. Here's the interesting thing. So I think I found a country that I might want to move to. The only trouble is I never heard of this country before. Let me see if you've heard of it. San Marino.
Wow. No, I don't know where to fly to get to San Marino. Sounds
no,
very nice.
You're gonna like it when I tell you. It's officially known as the Republic of San Marino. And it's surrounded by Italy.
Uh-huh.
It's on the Italian peninsula on the northeastern side of the Apennine Mountains. So that's good, because I know you like Italy.
I do.
And here's an interesting fact about San Marino. The government of San Marino made United States President Abraham Lincoln an honorary citizen. And he wrote in reply saying the republic proved that government founded on Republican principles is capable of being so administered as to be secure and enduring. Now, the interesting thing, you know, San Marino is only about 24 square miles, I think. You know, it's a small country. But for men, they live the longest there. So I just thought that'd be an interesting bit of information if you're looking where you think it's best to move to. So,
what is the average age of the men? What is the average age the men live to in San Marino?
A good point. 84. Wait, is that right? Yeah, 80. Male life expectancy is 83. Female life expectancy there is 84. Let me back it up again. Japan, the women live the longest. Their life expectancy is 87. Male life expectancy is 80. And so that, 84 is the average. So for women, Japan is good. I'm not sure why it is that way in Japan. But for men, San Marino is the place to be with 83. That's the highest life expectancy in the world for men. Women.
So we're gonna have to take a health trip to San Marino and.
Well, wait, I'm not so sure you want to go there.
Okay,
because for women, the life expectancy is only 84. I don't know why. You know, the women don't do as well there as Japan.
I'm not giving anything up by leaving the United States and going to San Marino.
So, right? But overall ranking, San Marino is second in the world. Now, there's a bunch of countries that rank second after Japan. Now, they're looking at average life expectancy. In other words, averaging the men and the women together. So on average, Japan ranks first with 84 years of age. Now, there's a bunch of countries ranked second with 83 years of age. It's Spain, Andorra, Singapore, Switzerland, Australia, Italy, and San Marino. We didn't get to the United States yet. Okay, let's keep going. Ranking at average life expectancy of 82, you have France, Monaco, Republic of Korea, Iceland, Israel, Canada, Cyprus, Luxembourg, New Zealand, Norway, and Sweden. Oh, no United States yet. We'll get there eventually. Ranking at 81 years of age, you have Austria, Greece, Finland, Portugal, Germany, Ireland, Netherlands, United Kingdom, and Malta. What's going on here? Now we're up to 29th ranking, Slovenia. These are average age of 80. Belgium, Chile, Denmark, Lebanon, another country I never heard of, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, Nauru, N-A-U-R-U, Costa Rica at 79 years of age, and finally, the United States at 79 years of age, average life expectancy. Men living to 76, women living to 81, ranking 34th in the world. Does that mean we're getting ripped off by our healthcare establishment? Maybe we'll answer that question when we get back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. 2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on this station.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about life expectancy because I think that's a good way to evaluate a country's healthcare system.
Dr. Slavin,
yes.
Do you have the information of, like, the percentage of the gross domestic product that is spent in the United States on healthcare, or the ranking of how many healthcare dollars are spent in the United States as compared to some of the other countries?
No, I don't have those numbers, but I can guarantee you it's more than any other country.
Yeah, that's what I think. We're spending so much money on supposed health care, and what are we getting in payback for the dollars spent?
So I just want to review those numbers. So the United States ranks 34th in the world in life expectancy, with an average life expectancy of 79, women living to be 81, and men living to be 76. But I want to put things in perspective. I know a lot of people like to point to Cuba, saying, you know, they've got a great system. Wasn't that movie director said that once, Janet?
Very, very different system of distributing pharmaceuticals and research and surgeries and things like that. I don't know too much about the system in Cuba.
All right, if anyone is interested, they rank 38th with the average life expectancy of 78, and women living to be 80, men to 77. Just looking at some of the other countries that people might want to point to, I'm not sure. Venezuela, I'm picking out socialist countries for a reason. They rank 55th in the world. Average life expectancy 77. Women living to be 80, men 72. Not sure why such a big discrepancy. But now, to really put things in perspective, if we were to scroll down to the bottom of the list, and at the bottom you have a lot of countries in Africa. In fact, most of the countries in Africa, if we go down from, they're all in Africa. So at the bottom of the list you have Sierra Leone. They rank 194th in the world. Average life expectancy 46 for both men and women. In comparison, we're doing pretty good. But the point is that... Yeah, Janet.
The thing is, some of those countries, I would be very interested in seeing what the cause of death might be, because if there is very, very poor security, if murder and war and that kind of situation was an important part of this whole discussion.
Well, maybe I can answer that question.
Okay, good.
So here's the top cause of death in Sierra Leone. And it's an interesting perspective that you get. You have influenza and pneumonia ranking number one. You have tuberculosis, okay. Ranking number two.
Infectious disease.
Right. And then you have stroke. And then number four, you have diarrheal diseases. Now, and of course, in the United States, number one is heart disease, number two is cancer. And of course, the argument would be they're not living long enough in Sierra Leone to get those other diseases, because those are diseases that affect an older population, usually.
So these people are victimized to a certain extent by poor sanitation and poor ability to intervene early in an infectious disease.
Right. Now, here's the interesting thing. So we said average life, and you know, this is how you can play around with numbers. And I'm talking about Sierra Leone. So we said at birth, average life expectancy for men is about 46 and for women 46, and they rank 194. Now, if you want to take out infant mortality out of the equation, and let's say you live to be age 25, then your average life expectancy jumps to 62 years of age. So, so you've taken that out of the equation. So you've got almost a 20-year increase in life expectancy. So a big part of the cause of their diminished life expectancy is illnesses that affect people at a younger age. And, you remember on that list, diarrheal diseases, especially if they don't have access to adequate health care from the standpoint of intravenous treatments to replace fluids while the person gets better. So...
Right.
But back to the United States, we're ranking, 34th in the world, but men rank, it's a very long graph here, so men rank 39th in the world, and women rank 36th in the world. Not sure how that you come up with those numbers, but on average we're 34th. So men's life expectancy is 76. Still want to go back to that other country that I wasn't familiar with. So 76, you can add 7 years to your age if you lived in San Marino. So I think a lot of people are going to look up that country.
I would say a lot of people are going to look up that country and see what their immigration laws are. If maybe you can trace your genetic history back somewhere to Abraham Lincoln, maybe you can kind of claim citizenship from that perspective.
Well, I'm gonna give you some information about San Marino that's going to rule that out for a lot of people. The average temperature in January is 45, in February 48. Starts warming up a little bit in March of 57, April 63, May 73. You know, maybe these are good numbers. 82 in June, 86 in July, 86 in August. Then it starts cooling down. 77 in September, 68 in October, 55 in November, 46 in December. So
remember, we're dealing with global warming, so those numbers might not stand.
But... all right, it's a country I'm going to look into because I haven't been there. And how could you go to a country you never heard of, right?
Well, now you've educated so many of us here in South Florida, and if we're concerned about rising seas, those people on South Beach that have to deal with high tides and full moon, that would possibly look very, very attractive to them. And then think about that location, the northeast part of Italy. You can get to a variety of different destinations around Europe from that area. I would say it's most likely very picturesque. So sounds very interesting. And that moderate climate sounds very interesting to me as well.
Well, you know, for a lot of people, they always want to know what the tax system is in a country. And back in 1972, a value-added tax was introduced in Italy, and it was also applied to San Marino. So they have a value-added tax. In other words, they don't have an income tax, which a lot of people would like that. They have a tax on imported goods. And they have a... there's a corporate sales, a corporate tax of 19%. Capital gains have a 5% tax. So, I mean, taxing doesn't sound to be too bad. So maybe tourism will increase over there. It's a smaller part of their economy. But they have as far as their standard of living is compared to other countries in Europe, they say it's one of the highest in Europe. So just an interesting thing. We brought that up because men live the longest in the world in San Marino. So that's why that came up. So why are we only 34th in this country?
Well, before we move on to why we are 34th in the world, do you have any information about their health care system? My mind is wondering... how have they achieved this standing of longevity? And so where I'm thinking about the benefits of being a citizen of San Marino would be very, very high quality food, and particularly really good olive oil. And olive oil is very good from the immune perspective, circulatory perspective. So there's one benefit there, but is their healthcare system so dramatically better, or is it their diet and lifestyle?
And there's that music again, Janet, which means it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
And we're back. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Janet, you asked about the healthcare system in San Marino. I'm not sure it would the same system would work in this country. The country has one state. Well, I'll tell you, the country has one state hospital called San Marino Hospital, After all, it's a small country. The type of rooms available for patients vary depending on their personal health history and their, well, their personal health insurance policy. Those who are insured by the state may have to share a room with two or three other patients, while privately insured ones get a single or double room. So basically, it's a it's comprehensive health care from public hospitals, and it's subsidized by the government. But if you were to move there, in other words, you're an expatriate, or you're you know, you're not a citizen there, you have to buy your own health insurance initially, at least. And I don't know the numbers in this country, but there they have 251 physicians per 100,000 people. So I don't know what the number is in this country for comparison. But I can tell you the reason they live longer is not because they have a better healthcare system. It's probably because they take better care of their health. So that would be... you know, that would be my explanation. Janet, what would you say if, all right, if, you know, so, you know, I said they take better care of their health. How would you define that? What does that mean, taking better care of your health?
Okay, better care of your health is personal responsibility. You want to be aware of the things that have the potential to damage your health and to avoid those things. And so the first thing that comes to mind in that area is smoking and possibly recreational drugs, and then possibly overuse of pharmaceutical drugs rather than getting to the cause of a particular symptom. What we do here is see the symptom, and there is a drug to overcome that symptom. But if you are supporting your good health, what you would do is do a little bit of investigation. What's different? What's changed? Am I exposed to something that might be damaging a different system of my body? What can I do to support and enhance the function of that system that seems to be failing to a certain extent? So, personal responsibility is number one in my view.
Well, here's an interesting observation. As we mentioned earlier, I think the United States, we said, ranked about 34th with an average life expectancy around 78 to 79 years of age. With, you know, we have advanced medical care. But they point to the Republic of Chad, which is in Central Africa. They also have advanced medical care there, but their people only live on average into their 40s, late 40s. So there are other factors involved in longevity. So what I'm looking at is Italy, which has a longer life expectancy, and their diet. And, you know, we probably wouldn't agree with this, is made up of pasta, meat, and cheese. That's what they say here. But they also mention now the antioxidants found in olive oil and red wine, two key fat features of an Italian meal, which can improve cholesterol, prevent blood clots, stave off heart disease. And that's according to the American Heart Association. Also, Italians rely on spices like basil, oregano, and garlic to flavor their cuisine, while Americans depend heavily on salt. As such, Italians improve their odds against high blood pressure and stroke. So maybe there's something to be gleaned from that information.
What might be the cause of death in Italy or in San Marino? Is it heart and circulatory disease? Is it arthritis and inflammatory disease? I'm wondering, they have this very impressive longevity. What is it that finally does the San Marino citizens in?
Well, let's see. We can answer that question. You're asking an awful lot, Janet, on such short notice and everything.
Okay, so if
but it's a good question, right?
Your line of thinking, and I will look up what's the cause of death in San Marino.
I mean, but this is how, you know, you figure out how you have to go. You look at other countries that are doing a better job, and you figure out, you know, why is that? And see if I can get that information here.
It's interesting because one of the things that I'm coming across is no deaths from communicable diseases were reported. And this is kind of old, 10 years old information, but reported by the World Health Organization. So no deaths from communicable diseases. Now, does that cover diseases like influenza and other viral issues?
Well, I think I'm going to guess here. It's a small country, a small population. They don't have congested living conditions, and that's always a factor when you talk about communicable diseases.
Right.
Plus, and we talked about the impact of infant mortality on your average life expectancy, and in San Marino, it's very low. So that's a another factor. The main cause of death between the years 1995 and 2000, in the category of non-communicable diseases, accounted for about 85% of all deaths. And let's see what they say. That is, no deaths, like you said, no deaths from communicable diseases were reported. In total, 48% of the deaths were caused by diseases of the circulatory system, and 31% by cancer. Ill-defined causes accounted for about 10%. So you're seeing heart disease and cancer coming in one and two there. They're just living longer. And remember, again, living longer is the average of life of births and deaths. So that we know that in this country, too, a lot of people live to be into their 80s, especially in Florida. You see a lot of people living into the mid-80s. So they're probably experiencing the same issues over there. So the question is, maybe the reason they have a longer life expectancy there is better treatment of infants, you know, in other words, a lower infant mortality rate. So I think the answer is, Janet, you see the countries that are at the bottom of the list in life expectancy, they're dying from communicable diseases, from diseases associated with poor hygiene, poor sanitation, poor nutrition. And then as you get older, you're seeing the more of the diseases of civilization, meaning heart disease and cancer, because of differences in diet. But I think the interesting point they made in the diet of San Marino, like in most of the Mediterranean countries, they don't use salt. They're using herbs like garlic and oregano. They're drinking red wine. They're using olive oil. And all those foods and condiments have been shown to be health supporting.
Okay,
maybe we need a fast food Mediterranean center or something, you know, fast food Mediterranean style.
Well, it's very, very interesting because you can do fast food Mediterranean style at home so easily. Some fish, some basil, which is so easy to grow in your own garden. You don't even need a big plot of land. All you need is a pot of possibly oregano, possibly a little bit of rosemary, and certainly the basil, and any kind of vegetables that you happen to find either at the grocery store or in the freezer. Now, of course, you want to, as much as possible, choose an organic, non-GMO vegetable. And the olive oil in a pan, you can stir fry the vegetables with a little bit of garlic, a little bit of basil. And then when the vegetables are ready, put in the fish. It's very, very fast. It's so easy, and it's absolutely delicious.
Now, you know, speaking of longevity, I think I also have maybe a little insight into why people live longer in certain countries. In this country, and the latest statistics are for 2014, the obesity rate among American adults hit 38%, and that was a 3% increase from 2012. And in 2004, only 32% of adults fell in the obese category. So I think that's playing a major role as to the illnesses that people see associated with obesity.
It's interesting, Dr. Slavin, because they're saying that obesity now affects more humans than hunger. And so the revelation was that abundant food has become available around the world, and chronic overeating has reached epidemic proportions, and that puts people at risk of dying from things like heart attack, circulatory disease, stroke, and cancer. And then when you think about what are some of the things that go along with overeating, it's indigestion, it is certainly digestive and elimination dysfunction. So obesity is coming at us. We have to be very aware of overeating.
And time for another break. When we come back, we'll give you the actual definition between someone who's overweight and someone who's obese. But now you're listening to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We started off talking about life expectancy around the world, and we said for women, Japan is number one. For men, it's the country of San Marino, and the United States ranks 34th in the world. And we say, boy, that's not such a good ranking. We're not getting a good return on our investment in healthcare. And maybe the main reason is not that this country suffers from good healthcare. Maybe it suffers from obesity. And okay, and here's the definition there. If you have a body mass index between 25 and 29, you're considered overweight. But when your body mass index goes above 30, you're considered obese. And anything above 40 is morbidly obese. So I think that may be the reason. So what diseases are associated with being overweight, or more precisely, obese or morbidly obese? Well, first, it's going to be diabetes. And, of course, that's associated with a higher incidence of heart disease and cancer. But the interesting thing, Janet, is globally, diabetes rates are on the rise. So it's not just in this country. It's around the world. And it, as far as I know, the major factor there is what people are eating. And because the type of diabetes that's on the rise is not the failure of the pancreas, it's caused by insulin resistance and not making enough insulin. So
Insulin resistance, aren't they making an overabundance of insulin because the cells are not responding to the insulin? The insulin is not efficient at driving the sugar out of the blood into the cell?
Well, okay. It's good that you brought that up, because we're going to remove some confusion.
Okay.
When you have insulin resistance but not diabetes, you're right. You have high insulin levels, but it's still working to control your blood sugar. When you reach a point that the insulin can no longer control your blood sugar, then you have diabetes. And it would be called type 2 diabetes or non-insulin-dependent diabetes. And in that case, you could still have high insulin levels. It's just not working. Or it may be that your pancreas is unable to keep up with the demand anymore, and you're making less insulin. So it's really semantics to some extent. So the type 1 or insulin-dependent diabetics are people whose pancreas does not make any insulin, or very small amounts. And then you have the type 2, starts off, before they're officially designated as diabetics, they start off with insulin resistance. In other words, putting out more insulin to control their sugar. And then eventually they can't maintain that control. And then the sugar goes up and they say, okay, now you have type 2 diabetes.
What is the best thing people can do to make their insulin efficient and able to be utilized? Well,
the best thing and the first thing should be know your fasting insulin level, so you can nip it in the bud. You know, the sooner you're aware that it's running a little high, the sooner you can make the changes. And the most important changes, cut back on the carbohydrates, precisely the things that stimulate the pancreas to put out insulin. So if you cut back on carbs, you're going to decrease that demand for insulin. And therefore prevent the progression to insulin resistance and ultimately diabetes.
What about people who go to a doctor and they ask for an insulin level in their blood test, and the doctor says, oh, you don't need that? Can they come to Advanced Medical Testing Center and just pay to have an insulin level test done? And what time of day is the best time to test your insulin?
Well, you know what? There are two ways to test it. One is a fasting insulin, which in a way is more standardized. You know, you see what your fasting insulin level is, and you know what you could expect. If you do it in the non-fasting state, then there are too many variables. How long was it since your last meal? What did that last meal consist of? If you had a meal high in carbs, your insulin level is going to be higher. If you had a meal that was more fat and protein, your insulin level is going to be lower. So I would have to say the fasting blood sugar is going to give the most reliable. Insulin, right. It was going to give you the most reliable information, and probably the best way to evaluate everything, it would be to do a glucose insulin tolerance test. So you come in fasting, you check your glucose and insulin fasting, and then you get a sugar challenge, and then you see how your body responds to it. And a normal response would be that in 2 hours, you're back to baseline. If you're not back to baseline in 2 hours, then you see what's still abnormal. So the first thing to go abnormal would be that your insulin level stays high, even though your blood sugar is back to baseline. So that would be the first stage of abnormality. And, of course, the next stage would be both insulin and blood sugar remain elevated at the two-hour mark. But the easiest test to do is just the fasting insulin level. It's a little bit high. That's the time to reconsider your diet and see about cutting back on the carbs.
Okay, so one of the first places to start with regard to cutting back on carbs would be rice and pasta. People tend to overdo bread and crackers. So if you get those carbs significantly lowered or possibly eliminated from your diet, you're off to a really good start. And, you know, just to have people remember that there are quality carbohydrates, and that would be all of your vegetables and, to a certain extent, beans. You don't want to overdo the beans, but the beans, with regard to blood sugar and insulin, help to achieve satiety, so you're happy with your meals, you feel full, and you're bringing in a significant amount of fiber, and that fiber helps to moderate the delivery of glucose to your blood. So very, very good choices among all of the vegetables. The exceptions to that vegetable recommendation is white potato. You want to really be very, very careful with the amount of white potato, possibly avoid it entirely, and corn. And, of course, as much as possible, you want to do organic. It'd be interesting to see what the research might be, Dr. Slavin, with regard to contamination with pesticides, herbicides, fungicides that are so liberally applied to our vegetable and fruit crops, and what impact those chemicals might have on our glucose and on our insulin.
Now, Janet, just before we run out of time today, I have an important point to make, and that's the impact that soda and sugary beverages have on the obesity epidemic. Now, back in 2015, the Mayo Clinic published a meta-analysis, and they said once you reach 18% of your daily calories from added sugar, there's a twofold increase in metabolic harm that promotes prediabetes and diabetes. Moreover, research suggests sugary beverages alone are to blame for about 183,000 deaths worldwide each year, including 133,000 deaths from diabetes, 44,000 from heart disease, and 6,000 from cancer. So, all you ever hear is, we're going to find a cure for cancer, or we're going to find a cure for heart disease. Well, the cure is in the prevention. That's the way I look at it. The cure is staring us in the face, and that's, pay attention to the carbs you're taking in, And cut back on it. That's where you're going to get the most benefit overall.
It's interesting because since we've been told, let's say over the past 20 years, that we should be following a low-fat diet, and the carbs, starchy carbs, have replaced fats in our diet. That's the support for this obesity epidemic, too many starchy carbs, and we are reducing the efficiency of our metabolism by avoiding quality fats. So people need to know that high quality fats in their diet, fats such as found in nuts and seeds, avocado, certain types of fatty fish, olive oil, Those things are of great importance and support helping to balance your glucose level by supporting how your liver is functioning. Lots of little details like this to personally tailor your diet.
Just one last thing. So the beverage companies say, well, you can have your soda and as long as you exercise enough. But the important point there is you'd have to probably walk at least an hour a day to burn off the calories in just one soda beverage. So you can see how the calories add up, and so does the weight. And Janet, I hear music again. That means we've run out of time for today's program. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.